Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with the start of a series, and how appropriate that we start the series in February, Black History Month, and the subject of this guest's book is just a great lady and a fascinating lady, and it's so appropriate, once again, that we start in the month of February. Emile Joseph Henwood III is our very special guest, and he's the author of Remembering a Great American Hero, Marian Anderson, The Lady from Philadelphia. Emile, how are you?
I'm fine today, Frank. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, and listen, thrilled to have you on the phone. And without further ado, maybe we could find out a little something about you. And if you don't mind, let's start from the beginning. Where were you born? Where were you raised?
I was born in the Philadelphia area, a little town called Darby, but raised in Philadelphia. I'm the oldest of nine children from my father and mother, Emile and Eunice, and had a great life far, and raised to 74, decided to become an author.
Wow. And, you know, right there in Philadelphia, you know, a lot of great things happen, a lot of historic things happen. And not the least is Marian Anderson. When was the first time as a child you heard about Marian?
Well, my I'm being the oldest of the oldest grandchild, and my grandparents living in the same neighborhood, I was often visiting them, and they were great fans of Marian Anderson. They were always records, and I remember as a kid in the 1950s going to their home, and they were frequent, if not constantly, playing Marian Anderson records. I had no idea why at that age. But I found it interesting. And then I found out later on in life, when I started researching Marian Anderson, that Marian was born on the same exact street where my grandmother lived, four blocks away, in the 1890s.
Wow.
So that deepened my interest tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And before I even thought of writing this book, my curiosity got the best of me, and I began researching the life of this famous neighbor. And I grew up not too far from the neighborhood where she lived, where she brought her home in 1924. And her mother and sisters lived there all their lives, and Marian lived there, and also up in Danbury, Connecticut, for many, many years. And I discovered that she was a very private, public figure whose musical genius and generosity touched the lives of her fans and many everyday people. All the while she was constantly interacting with famous celebrities, royalty, and leaders of governments from around the world at their invitation.
Let me ask you something about Philadelphia, and of course the nickname is Brotherly Love, right? The city of Brotherly Love, and so many great things have happened there regarding freedom. How, at the time of Marian Anderson's life, and while it was going on and the height, how was Philadelphia treating African Americans?
Well, it was a very segregated city. I grew up in an all-white neighborhood. My mother, who I just mentioned, was born and raised in a mixed neighborhood where Marian Anderson in South Philadelphia. I'm from Southwest Philadelphia, which is not too far away. But we call it the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. And there's a lot of reasons for that, going back to William Penn, but she was born into a very tough situation in 1897. In fact, on this month, February 27th, will be her 124th birthday, I believe.
Wow.
This month, on Black History Month, as a matter of fact. But Philadelphia, as I said, it was a very segregated city, and people more or less stuck to their own neighborhoods. Growing up, I knew very few. I'm a white guy, and I knew very, very few black people. I did have a few friends who were not too often, not too many. And I was a jock, and was not into classical music or, you know, the black history or any of that stuff. It just wasn't talked about back then. When I was a kid in the 50s and 60s. But Philadelphia is a great town. It's a great town. It's a city of neighborhoods. And she was from the South Rittenhouse Square neighborhood is where she lived. That's been very much gentrified and yuppieized, and it's considered part of the graduate hospital neighborhood where a lot of people move into. But her house is the same exact house that was in 1924. It's now a residence museum. It's owned by the National Marian Anderson Historic Society. And it's a marvelous place. I mean, I found it when I found it originally. It was by accident, and I was planning to go to an event that is held in Philadelphia every year since 1998, called the Marian Anderson Awards, at a major event center downtown Philadelphia called the Temple Center. And for some reason, it was canceled in 2018. And I got on the internet and decided to do a lot of research and find out more about her. And that's how I found the Residence Museum in South Philadelphia, where she lived. And I couldn't believe when I did the internet research that one person could have done everything that I found. I found it totally unbelievable. And so that's when I went down to... when I found the museum, and I went to visit it several times, and sort of bugged the chief executive officer a lot, trying to learn more about this woman. Every time I got there and walked away, I felt humbled. And here I was at the time, a 72-year-old guy who lived in the area the whole time and never knew anything about her, except that she was a great singer, like a lot of people knew. But that was about 10% of what she really was as a trailblazing humanitarian. So I decided to really drill down into it. And thanks to this COVID situation, I had plenty of time on my hands because I wasn't going anywhere. So I wrote the book.
Yeah. Well, listen, what a productive and worthy cause to spend during COVID. I mean, let's face it. I mean, a lot of people did nothing during COVID, and you, what you did here is just remarkable. And like I said, I mean, you can't find a more worthy subject than you found here. Just wonderful, just an amazing subject. And let me remind folks that are just tuning in a little late or turning on their radios or their computers a little late. Frank McKay here with Emil Joseph Henwood III. He's the author of a great book, Remembering a Great American Hero, Marian Anderson, The Lady from Philadelphia. I'm speaking to the gentleman from Philadelphia who wrote that book, and just absolutely terrific. Emil, you had mentioned the house that she grew up in is a museum. And,
yes.
You know, I always wonder about the struggle, and I don't know if you can even answer this, but the struggle it is to get that done. Wasn't it easy? And I, you know, and again, you know, I don't know when it happened, when it became a museum, but it's the type of thing where you almost say, thank God, right? Thank God they did that, rather than it being, you know, somehow reformatted into something else, or a stationery store was there and you just have to get a plaque and say, you know, Marian Anderson, you know, whatever. But they seem to do the right thing, and they seem to get it right. And kudos to the city of Philadelphia for doing that. But was it a struggle to get that turned into a museum? Do you know anything about that history?
I know a lot about that. There was a lady named Blanche Burton Lyles who was a protege of Marian Anderson's as a young lady growing up, and Marian Anderson got her admitted to the Curtis Institute of Music, and she became the first black graduate from Curtis back in the early 50s. When Marian died in 1993, well, Blanche herself became a world-renowned pianist and concert pianist, and she purchased the home, and she also purchased another property, the property where Marian was born, about two blocks away. So she was a real neighborhood girl.
Yeah.
And it was right across the street from the Union Baptist Church where Marian started singing in choir at the age of six. But anyway, she purchased it in 1995 and converted it into a museum. And throughout her life, she had accumulated a lot of Marian's belongings, her beautiful gowns and jewelry, and a lot of things Marian had collected. Marian Anderson was a pack rat. Okay. She didn't throw away anything. And Blanche collected it all, had it in storage. And when the house became available, 1996, she bought it and turned it into the museum herself. The city of Philadelphia had nothing to do with it. It was totally a private endeavor on her part, an act of love of hers. Blanche passed away, unfortunately, in November of 2019, and passed on the leadership of the museum to a young lady named Jillian Patricia. Blanche had mentored Jillian, was 13 years of age, and Jillian is also an artist herself and a certified historian in the state of Pennsylvania. And she has done marvelous things with this museum. It's a shame this COVID thing has impaired it tremendously, but they're working around that. And it's been a total personal endeavor. And the museum is totally on its own, totally self-funded, and really in need of donations. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. And everything about Marian Anderson. They have everything there about her, things that you could not believe. Walked in there, Frank. One of the first things I noticed was a picture of Marian Anderson with her business agent, a guy named Saul Horrick, who had been her business since 1935, and a picture of her and Saul, and of all people, Jackie Robinson.
Wow.
Sitting at a table for an event that Saul had Saul was an impresario who produced a lot of. He was actually a first class hustler. And he was from Brooklyn, and he was a big Dodgers fan. And his experience managing Marian Anderson in 1935, he learned a lot of how to manage someone back, a black person back in those days, who were totally persecuted all over. One of the first things that he had to do when he picked up her management contract was hire a traveling manager to travel with her to protect her and shield her from a lot of the prejudice and racial biases that she ran into all the time. And he knew how, and he learned from Marian quite a bit about how to overcome persecution with grace and dignity.
Wow.
And when Dodgers in 1943 gave Branch Rickey, their general manager, the green light to go ahead and find the right man to integrate baseball. Somehow or other, Saul Horrick and Branch Rickey found each other, and Branch Rickey saw the done with Marion, who was at that time a world-renowned, and Saul became Jackie Anderson, Jackie Robinson's first and only baseball manager agent for the rest of his career.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I'm a big baseball fan. I've got a couple of baseball books out, and I never knew that connection there. That's just absolutely amazing. Before you continue, let me remind folks once again, the name of the book is Remembering a Great American Hero, Marian Anderson, the Lady from Philadelphia. And the title says it all. Emil Joseph Henwood III is with us. He is the author. It's part of a series, and long overdue to have a series on a woman this great. And I mean, when you think of greatness in American history, you know, look, I think of one of the first people I think of is Jackie Robinson. And another person you think of is Marian Anderson. And the fact that they were connected like that is just absolutely amazing. Emil, your biggest surprise while you started writing this, if any, was there any big surprise to you of something that you just had no idea, and all of a sudden it hit you and it was kind of that light bulb or whatever idea over the head, but was there some information that was just an aha moment during this process?
Frank, I'm sitting here. I wrote this book on my laptop computer in my kitchen, and I have top of my right now about 8 or 9 books, and I found that there were over 20 biographies that were written about Marian Anderson, 23 that I could find, actually. Most of them were children's, but about half a dozen of them were written by renowned scholars, well-researched. And it's from the latter group that I drew upon, and that's what they wrote into one writing, because what I found is scholars all wrote it from their own professional point of view, from musicology to political science. And the political science people obviously wrote a lot about the 1939 concert where she it was tagged as the beginning of the modern civil rights era.
Yeah.
75,000 people showed up on the National Mall on Easter Sunday, 1939.
To me, that's worth the whole show, that 1939 show, because of what happened afterwards and the impact that it had on not just music, but I mean just what it had on the country and the world. And you know, just think about it. And it's not usually, unless you scratch the surface, it doesn't usually get the credit it deserves. But, I mean, it really was a starting point.
Yeah, well, Mike, you had an aha moment. I had a lot of them in Philadelphia. There's still a lot of people around here who knew her and had been to her concerts. But I had a lot of information that's never been documented before. And one of the aha moments was in that 1939 concert where it was 75,000 people, the first and largest ever gathering on the National Mall and on the Lincoln Memorial steps. And it was broadcast to millions of people live at the time. That was a big event back in 1939. And one of the people in the audience that's never been recorded, none of these historians have ever picked up on this, up a lot of nuggets like this, and that's what really was the impetus to write this book. One of the people in that audience was a very bright 10-year-old boy by the name of Martin Luther King Jr.
Wow.
And he heard the whole thing. I'm not sure if he was actually physically present. I think he just heard it on the radio, like most of other people did. But he heard the whole thing, and Marian Anderson's opening song that she sang is one of the America songs, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty, so on and so forth. And 24 years later, in 1963, when he had his March on Washington for Jobs, he his famous speech. And you know what that was? I have a dream.
Yeah.
His concluding that speech, he recited the same exact lyrics that Marian Anderson used to open her concert in 1939. And that same steps, and Marian Anderson was there that day in 1963. She was invited to sing.
Wow. And just wow.
It goes even further than that, Frank. When Martin Luther King went to seminary school, he went to a place called Crozier Theological Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania, which is located about less than a half hour from where Marian Anderson was living at the time in the early 1950s in South Philadelphia. Mm. And it's not documented because it's just local talk in Philadelphia, but people believe that he came and visited with her in South Philadelphia, a half hour from where he was living for 3 years while he was up through seminary school.
Wow.
And he mentored him as well as Jackie Robinson. This woman was incredible.
Incredible. Incredible. I mean, and possibly the two greatest figures in the American civil rights movement, the two male figures, Jackie Robinson and then Martin Luther King, and she mentored, or she had a mentoring effect and an impact on both of them. And again, just a couple moments more for our part one with Emil Joseph Henwood III. He is the author of a must-get for everyone, Remembering a Great American Hero, Marian Anderson, The Lady from Philadelphia. And just wow. I mean, the more and more you hear about Marian Anderson, the more amazing you realize her career is. The fact that it is 20 biographies, on her just says it all. But, I mean, this is had to be a labor of love and something that got done through COVID. Just amazing. Emil Joseph Henwood III. Give us a closing thought on a part one of a series of a woman of this magnitude.
Well, there's a lot of things that she did, and because she was such a private person and a very humble person, despite the circle she ran in at the invitation of world leaders and royalty throughout the world, it was hard to find a lot of things about her, and that's what I've dedicated myself to doing. Because she didn't publicize, she was not into puffery, or celebrity was not nearly as important as her faith in God and her family. And so what I'm trying to do, Frank, is let the world know that Marian Anderson is somebody that has to be remembered for now, future generations, because of what she contributed, especially in today's world, with the turmoil that's out there. As she was a leading civil rights person, even though she was not militant about it. She did through the gift of her God-given voice and her other gifts. But she just wanted to let people know that there's other things out there. She always ended her concerts with black spirituals. It was her testimony to her faith in Jesus Christ. And she was just a tremendous person, and we can't let her flame go out. And in the back in the mid-20th century, her name was a household word. Everybody knew who she was. But, time goes along, and people get busy in their lives, and they tend to forget. And if you stop talking about somebody, that person gets forgotten, and I don't want to see her light go out and see her forgotten, because she can really help a lot of people in the situations they're in by just knowing what she did in her life and what she overcame. So,
Emil, before you go, can you give us a website or a social media site you'd like to point us to, or you know, either on Marion or yourself?
Sure. I don't know. I'm so new. I'm not sure if my web's up yet, but it will be www.emilehenwood.com. And you can also go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and find the book by just doing a search on the title or my name. And also, my publisher's website is exlibris.com, X-L-I-B-R-I-S.com, where you can get the book and also read about it, too.
Just wonderful. First of all, thank you very much for sharing. Thank you very much for the work that you put into, again, preserving and expanding the memory and the memories that this lady deserves. And again, she wasn't a publicity hound. You know, everywhere you look, you could tell that that wasn't her agenda. But, Emil, thank you very much for being here, and thank you for doing this.
Very much, Frank. Have a great day.
You too. And to everyone out there, Emil Joseph Henwood III has been our very special guest. He is the author of Remembering a Great American Hero, Marian Anderson, The Lady from Philadelphia. Well, the gentleman from Philadelphia will be here at least 7 more times, and will be, you know, laying our foundation and our historic record of an amazing lady, and just wow. Again, Emil Joseph Henwood III has been our very special guest. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.